Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. It is 8 minutes after the hour. Wherever you're sitting, you're in the right place. We're live from 7 to 10 a.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. Also, you can hear us on WWCR 13.845 and 7.490. The replay is from 2 to 5 a.m. Central Time on 4.840. And I do encourage everybody to have a shortwave radio. Joining us today is John Darish. He is with the National Liberty Alliance. He is kind of like a guy like you and me who just came out of the system, living a life and said, wait a minute, something is wrong. Well, he's gone from that to now becoming an American sovereign. And he and his organization are helping people that are in need of defense from the illegal, what he calls it, the illegal American criminal justice system. The National Liberty Alliance is nonpartisan. We're not anti-government. We're apolitical. And he joins us today. Thank you very much, John, for joining us in the Power Hour today.
Well, good morning, Joyce, and thanks for having us. And with me on my line is Gerard, an associate that was co-founder of this program that we put together, National Liberty Alliance.
Yes, I want to say thank you, Gerard Afera, for joining us today on the Power Hour. Thank you so much. So let's hear from you. Gerard, are you there?
Yeah, he's got himself muted. He's kind of working in the background, but he may pipe in from time to time.
Okay. All right. John Darish, and of course, JD is in the studio with me today, and we're going to be talking about everything from sovereign citizen to what do words mean and what is it, what system are we living under today, and a lot of things that a lot of people don't understand. So let's start out with the 101, because I know you want to talk about the citizen grand juries also.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened to you? What was your sort of pivotal point in life in which you said, wait a minute, there's a problem here. I need to do some homework.
Well, actually, back in the late 90s, the IRS started after me, and they pursued me for many years. They never got anywhere with me, but I guess they were just trying to entrap me somewhere. And I've been in business for most of my life for myself, so, of course, I'm not going to report on myself. But during that process, I found Bob Schultz with We the People Foundation, and he's a national organization also, and I connected with him and joined his lawsuit against the government, ultimately, for redress of grievances. As that process went on, actually, the IRS went away during that time period, and it's quite a few years that that went through the system, which was the early 2000s, somewhere maybe 2002 or something. And then, you know, I started to study law, particularly reading a lot of court cases, U.S. Supreme Court cases. And as time came went on, I eventually started a group when Ron Paul was running for president. I started a Ron Paul group, and I've been involved in one group or another since then, the 912. We have a 912 group, which is also called the Tea Party group in my county. And I've been involved with all of the local counties around me doing the same thing, and working and supporting their efforts, and they doing the same with us. And that's how I got into this. We then moved into the committeeman process here in New York, and in that we discovered that the committeeman was a facade, that they had hijacked the committeeman, and that became a controlled party program. In other words, the Republican Party and the Democratic parties are both private organizations, or associations, shall I say, which is not the way it was set up. But they hijacked the system, and the Board of Election in every state has worked with them. And the committeemen think that they're elected, but they're not elected. They're just a facade, and they have no authority. And
okay,
then
when you say
we discovered...
When you say committeemen, yeah. Now let's define what committeemen are. Because it may be different.
Well, committeemen are the people who choose the elected representative who's going to be on the ticket. Those are the people that do that. And that's chosen. Ultimately, these are the people that we vote for, whether it's Republican or Democrat. It's chosen by just a few people. They're anointed. And if they're not a criminal, they're not going to get in. Occasionally, someone like Ron Paul does get through the system, only because he's got a lot of support and power from the people that know him. So we got involved in the political process, but we did not want to get involved with the politics. And our founding fathers, particularly George Washington, spoke about this in his farewell address. And as a matter of fact, two-thirds or three-quarters of his farewell address was exactly about this, the parties and the committeemen. And he spoke about not being divided and not getting lost in the politics, which divides people. But let's get involved in the political process, which picks good honest statesmen for people to run for office. And that's what they're supposed to be all about. So anyway, we sued the New York State Board of Election and the parties, and we went through numerous court cases, and that's when we started to learn law, and that was about 4 or 5 years ago, and probably about 5 years ago, and about 4 years ago, we started to look deeply into the common law, and we became more and more astute in that and started to realize that this whole thing is a facade. That we go to what's called nisi prius courts, were hijacked. Every court in the United States has been hijacked ultimately
okay,
by
the judiciary. Let's stop because we're really getting into a lot of issues right here. Let's go back and separate some of these. Let me go back to the issue of the IRS, first of all. Okay, there's a law that says you pay your taxes, right? So the IRS comes to you and says you owe us some money, and you said, I don't think so, and you begin the fight, or what happened?
Right. Yeah, there are statutes say you have to pay their money. Well, they never got anything on me, so they were never able to really come up with any kind of a number to chase me, but they kept coming after me to audit me. I was a business for myself, and they were just trying to catch me. They did catch up with me, as a matter of fact, just recently, but that was squashed pretty quick because I just sued them back, and it was a 30-day court case.
Okay, now you make it sound real simple, but I can tell you right now it's not that simple.
Right. These are people you do not want to mess with. You know, if they leave you alone, you leave them alone. If you escape their clutches, don't even bother going after them. Just leave them alone. Only if you're stuck in a situation and they're going to get you, you got two choices. Either pay up and be very careful, because even after you pay up, they hit you with such big interest that at the end, when they take everything away from you, they still want more. So they take their pound of flesh, which puts you in jail. This is their new way of operating, by the way. And I know a lot of people this has happened to. Well, a few people anyway. It is kind of simple on the one hand, but if you don't understand who you are and what you're doing and where you stand and what jurisdiction, and understand exactly who they are, where they stand and what jurisdiction they're in, and how you can put their pound of flesh on the line, you know, that's the key to this whole thing, and I don't know that I want to get discussing too much of that, though.
Sure. Well, and then you were mentioning some other issues, but I think that when we're talking in terms of what you are following here and what you are believing and you are adhering to, there is the UCC, the criminal code that most people are familiar with. No, so that's what we know as law, or has been known as corporate law, that we've adhered to. So what is it that you adhere to in your own style of belief system under the Constitution?
Well, ultimately, the Constitution is common law. It's a common law document, and ultimately the body of the Constitution tells the government what they can do, and the Bill of Rights, which is the first 10 amendments, which is part and parcel of the Constitution, tells them what they can't do. And we have unalienable rights, and our founding fathers listed some of those unalienable rights to be protected by the Constitution. So we have the Constitution, as far as the Bill of Rights is concerned, to protect us. We also have Article 6, I believe it's 2, Article 6, 2, that is the Supremacy Clause, which makes the law of our United States, or Constitution for the United States of America, that is the law of the land. And so all states must comply to that. Although they don't, because again, they move us into a statutory court, and they think that they have a protection by that, but they don't. Once you discover the fraud, you can attack them in the sense of their court is susceptible to collateral damages from your court, which is called the court of record, coming out of the common law. Now, it kind of sounds a little difficult or complex, but it really isn't. It's a very simple process. You know, common law is a combination of ultimately, you know, common sense, principles, and maxims. And that's what we teach on nationallibertyalliance.org, is that common sense, of course, and the principles and maxims. The principles that we run by are biblical. Justice in itself, the word justice in Black's Law Dictionary, is synonymous with the word virtue, which is a biblical word. And to put it short as we can, you know, virtue ultimately is godliness. And so justice should be the form of godliness. It should be the godly thing. And the principles that we operate from, and we teach everyone as they become into the jury pool, whether it's the grand jury or the trial jury, is a sense of justice, a sense of honor, and a sense of mercy. And with those three principles, if we make all of our judgments with those three principles in mind, we'll be able to sleep that night, and we'll do the best we can. There are two major maxims, although there are thousands of maxims. All men are created equal is a maxim. A couple that I kind of like is to think similar is not necessarily the same thing. And another one is water cannot go uphill. So these are maxims. But the two main principal maxims that we use to train people and to, get them orientated for the mindset is in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party. State can't be the injured party. So no injured party, there is no crime. Carrying a weapon is not a crime, and you can't license it. It's the Second Amendment. But, of course, they do, and we've become numb to that, and we kind of just were born into that, and it's time to stand up and let them know that we're not going to deal with it anymore. Another maxim that is key to judging is that for every injury, there must be a remedy. Law is not about putting people in jail, about punishing people. Law is about restoring the injured party. And the punishment for the person, ultimately, is to restore the injured party. Now, of course, there are violent people, and violent people belong in jail. And I think there are only two types of people that really belong in jail.
Okay, we've got to go to a break. We've got a four-minute break here, but you've got to understand, John, you're making way too much sense. You understand that, don't you, John?
I understand that.
All right, we'll be back after this four-minute break, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. It is 24 minutes after the hour. We're talking to John Darish today, National Liberty Alliance. NationalLibertyAlliance.org. A lot of education that you can get at that website. They really put it all out there, especially in the document section. Check that out. A lot of documents you probably would like to have, didn't know where to find, in the document section at NationalLibertyAlliance.org. We're talking to John Darish, and I got to say, homeschooling father, also, ladies and gentlemen, important to understand, this man is like you and me. He came out of the system, and he now sees a problem. So I thank you all for joining us today. And, J.D., did you have something you wanted to ask?
I do. I first wanted to just say, John, thank you again for coming and joining us today. This is just a fantastic subject, and I think something that everybody really needs to start kind of getting interested in and delving into. But our goal right now is to kind of boil it down to the brass tacks for the average Joe and Jane who maybe has just been working their whole life and has never really taken their head up to stop and look around. At some of these type of issues. So in order to do that, I think we need to define just some standard terms. You identify with the term sovereign. Can you define that for us? Tell us what it is and why we should care about that.
Well, of course, the sovereign is ultimately the king. And the great American experiment is that everyone's a king, and your kingdom ends when someone else's kingdom begins, and we're not to violate each other's kingdom. And that's the key thing. That's the principle of common law. Ultimately, all this comes down from the mountain out of Mosaic law, and so it could be traced all the way back there. But, to be a sovereign is to understand that you have liberty and that we have inherited this from our founding fathers, who ultimately from God, of course, but it's our founding fathers that set these principles up and were able to put together what we have here today in America. Which I'd like to really put a quote out and just say real quick something about our website. The website was put together for the sole purpose of educating people. We are leaders, but ultimately we're trying to lead people to the point where they can lead themselves. We look for leaderships in each state, and we don't get involved in other state business. I'm involved with my county and, of course, in my state as one of many people in this state. We facilitate for people to be able to communicate and organize through our website. And the website was put together for the purpose of educating the people. Thomas Jefferson said, "I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves." And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional powers. Now, that's a quote from Thomas Jefferson, and that's the principle our website is built upon. Our founding fathers expected that we would get a classical education. That's what they were setting up, and that's where we started. The eighth grade level going back into 1895 was superior to our college level today. So they learned in 8 years far more than we learned in the 12 years plus. And so education is what we're all about. We do give a complete classical education. If you look through our website, you will get a complete classical education that you never got when you went to school.
Yeah,
so
I
that's what our site is all about.
I hadn't seen the website until yesterday, but I was absolutely astounded with the amount of information on there. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want an opportunity to go out and kind of a one-stop shopping learning situation, the NationalLibertyAlliance.org should be top of your list.
Yeah, we do put everything up front. People can see most everything when they come in. There is some information and some very deep stuff that is not seen from people who are not signed in. So in order to see that, a Juris tab comes up and some other tabs under some of these other tabs come up that is not seen unless you register. And when you register, it's very important to understand you're registering to join the jury pool, which is the duty of every American. And so we are developing a jury pool nationwide. And let me say, we're up in all 50 states. New York has 33 common law grand juries elected already. We have another 15 on board getting ready to go for election this coming weekend. And we hope to have the entire state. We believe we'll have the entire state, if not maybe just a few left over, by the end of this month. So New York will be a 100% common law process that we're bringing into the process and the system. Florida is not far behind us. They only got 11 elected, but I believe they got 30 on the books for election. And they have made a determination that they, too, are going to have their entire state done within the next less than 60 days. Pennsylvania is moving very quickly. California is flying.
Fantastic.
Many
okay,
states.
We've got to go to this break. We've got a three-minute break. Yep. We'll be back with John Darish, NationalLibertyAlliance.org, after this three-minute break with the Power Up. Stay tuned. This is Joyce and JD. Talking with us today, John Darish, NationalLibertyAlliance.org.
John, I just had another quick question for you about the idea of a sovereign. And we talked about the sovereign being the national. You're basically your birthright as an American, and a sovereign being someone who is, the master of their own destiny, so to speak. What are the differences between the way you carry yourself as a sovereign in society and the way an average citizen would carry themselves in society? How do we bring this down to the average Joe's level and show them that there is a difference in how they operate? And what I mean by that is, do you have a driver's license? Do you have license plates on your cars? Things like that.
Right. Yeah, well, being sovereign and free is ultimately a state of mind. If you're free in your mind and your spirit, then it doesn't matter what they incarcerate, you're still free ultimately. Of course, none of us want to be incarcerated. We've gone through the whole gambit. We've looked and studied a lot of websites. There's a lot of poison out there in a lot of websites, unfortunately. A lot of good places and got a lot of good stuff, but then there's poison. Whether that's accidental or on purpose, that's debatable. But the bottom line on it is, a lot of people think that they have to give up their driver's license. They've got to get rid of their birth certificate, and they got to get rid of their Social Security and leave the voters, unregistered from the voters' rolls and so on and so forth. I've come to the realization, and I was taught this ultimately by a guy named Bill Thornton, we got four of his lectures on our common law page. And he's the guy that we learned a lot of our stuff from and how things work in the common law system. So he's a giant in this kind of field, if you want to call it that. But ultimately, you can participate with these things and not be part of that contract. You can sign on for some things and not other things. We're the boss. We own this nation. Our rights are unalienable. They come from God. Our founding fathers made that clear in two of the major documents. Declaration of Independence says that we have government by the consent of the people. the question is how do the people consent? They've robbed the whole process from us in the political process anyway, and they've robbed the our judicial process, and those are the two places you have to go to in order to give the consent. So they control that. So we have to take them back, and ultimately, you know, that's what we're doing. The second place we find the clue is in the preamble to the Constitution, where it says that we the people, and it goes on to tell us that did ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Now, in the Declaration of Independence, it refers to the United States, the 13 United States of America. And in the Constitution that I have, the copies that I have, has a capital U, but in the Declaration, it's a little U. And I don't know whether that's an error. I have someone looking in to see if they can find the original to see what was originally written. But nevertheless, they may have looked at it as a proper noun. But ultimately, United States of America should be with a small U. It means united. The states are capitalized because that's the proper noun. And of America, America is the continent. So, of course, that's the capitalization. If you go into Black's Law Dictionary and you look up federal government, you will find that federal government is of the United States of America. The word of is possessive. So the government is possessive of the United States of America. Obviously, the government cannot be possessive of itself. It's possessive of the states. So that's the key thing. Of the United States of America means the states, and this Constitution is not only for the federal government, it's also for each and every individual state. We all signed on to that in order to become one nation under God ultimately.
Is that why earlier when you were discussing the Constitution, you made a differentiation between a Constitution of the United States and a Constitution for the United States?
Well, that's correct. You know, the government is of the United States, but the Constitution is for the United States. Okay, and being for means that we the people are above it, and they have to rule underneath it. So we're above the Constitution, and bottom line, if you go through the powers that were given in the Constitution, as far as the legislative powers, there's no legislative powers for them to legislate your behavior. So all these laws that they call laws, which are statutes, are not meant for us and cannot be applied to us. And when people realize that, you can then just say no. You can resist the jurisdiction. They're out of their jurisdiction. You not give them consent. So you don't have a plea in a court. That's what's called a nisi prius court. And a nisi prius court is a court created by statutes and rules by statutes. Common law
is not... Okay, can you just spell that for us, what you just said, please?
N-I-S-I, nisi, P-R-E-I-S, I believe, is prius. Nisi prius court. And any court that operates with statutes is referred to as a nisi prius court. And all courts in America, unfortunately, have turned into nisi prius courts. And the way you win in these courts is to deny them consent. You're not consenting to their process. You're not going to plead to their process. Therefore, you're not consenting. And you reject it. And your jurisdiction is common law. And if you don't understand that and you start to put the judges... flesh on the line, he gets the point eventually. Sometimes they're asleep and it may take to add them into your defendants list before he gets it, but whatever it takes, they'll get it. So, but I'd like
somebody,
to say...
How can somebody take that first step, I guess, would be my next question.
Well, you know, this is really, on the one hand, really pretty simple, but on the other hand, it's a lot of new stuff, so it seems complex. You know, when we were children and we learned to talk, we were not sat down in some seat and taught to speak. We just lived a life and we were immersed in language. It was just all around us. So we kind of picked things up through osmosis. And so eventually at one point as a baby, you know, you put out a word and you kind of was able to, you know, duplicate the words that you heard. And it's a good feeling and you get reaction from it. So, you know, we start to speak, and we don't have to struggle, we don't have to study, we don't have to memorize, it just happens. Well, that's true of anything. Anybody that's a professional will tell you they've come to some point in life where they realize all they have to do is immerse themselves around the subject matter they're interested in, and don't worry about remembering anything, just try to understand it. And that will bring you through, because through osmosis, the next thing you know, it'll be spilling out of your mouth, and you'll say, where did that come from? Well, that's how any learning is. And so But with common law, again, it's all ultimately about principles, maxims, and common sense. And that's ultimately what common law is all about. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. But I'd like to just really quickly make a couple of points of some of the things we've done and where we're going. We started this movement in March of 2013, so we're not even a year old.
What are you referring to when you say movement?
Well, what happened was we were pushing very hard in the political realm, not for politics, but to get political power, to get good people into office. And we ended up in the courts. We were in the courts for 4 years, and that's when we started to establish these things, understanding of the common law, because we understood that that's where we needed to be. And about March of this 2013, you know, we had heard about the grand jury, and we had heard about, you know, of course, the juries and jury nullification, and we knew that was something we had to take part of, but we didn't realize how important it was. And back in March, one of the people working with us sent me a copy of United States versus Williams, which was a 1992 court case, and Justice Anton Scalia wrote the decision for that case, and it was a 6-3 decision, so it's a pretty powerful decision. And so I had read through it. I had kind of looked at it, but I never really read through it. And someone told me, John, you got to read this. Take a look at this. So I read it. And that night I was up all night studying. I shared it with Gerard, and he was up all night studying. And we realized this is the course we had to take. It's a very powerful decision. And, you know, we have that paper on the front page of our website. As you read through, you'll be able to hit that link and get a copy of that. And we highlighted all of the most important parts of that case. But anyway, we realized that, and the key thing about the grand jury is the grand jury has a duty, and its duty is to find and deal with any wrongdoing, whether it is in the political or the judicial realm. We also discovered, and the Supreme Court has mentioned this numerous times, that they cannot override the decision of any grand jury or trial jury. They don't have the authority. And even Scalia said that in this case, that we are above them. The people are above the Constitution. The government, including the judicial process, is below the Constitution. When we open up what's called a court of record is a common law procedure. When you open up a court of record inside any court, you just remove the judge from being a judge. He is now a magistrate. And then the tribunal is the sovereign of the court. Now, if the other side that you're suing or arguing against doesn't understand that and they're brain dead and they don't ask for a jury, then the sovereign plaintiff makes the decision at the end of the court, just like any king did as you look back in history. The king makes the decision at the end. But if they call for the jury, then, of course, the jury becomes a tribunal, and they'll do the will of the sovereign plaintiff, providing he's righteous. So it's really that simple in a court. So you'll get true justice in a court if everyone in the court that's part of that tribunal has the principles. Now, you know,
it's a matter of taking back the power that you've already got.
We've already got it. You just look at you keep slaves dumb. That's been the process for thousands of years. You don't let them know. You don't let them read and write. You don't let them understand power, authority. Here we have power, authority. Everything is there. We just have knowledge. Thomas Jefferson said, if a people expects to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Knowledge is power. And when you take that knowledge and you're able to exercise that knowledge in a court of law, you'll twist that judge into a pretzel, and trust me, you can win if you're just very careful and you work through it and you understand who you are, what kind of a jurisdiction you're in, and who they are, and what jurisdiction they're in, and how to control that whole process and put his flesh. If you don't put the judge's flesh on the line, he's going to become a tyrant and a dictator of the court, and you're going to lose.
Okay.
But we don't get too much into teaching, you know. We do have a lot of stuff up there. We wrote a book on court process, you know. I don't know. I think that's on the open, but it may be something you have to join in to, you know, have to register to see. It would be under the judicial page. We also wrote a book called, you know, a jurist handbook, and it's for jurists, both grand jury and trial jury, for judges, sheriffs, bailiffs. And it's a 43-page book. We're looking now. You can download it for free on our website. It's under the Jurist tab on Jurist Documents. And you can download, if you have a two-sided printer, it'll print two sides just like a booklet. You fold it up and put some staples in the center, and you got a booklet. But we're working with a publisher right now, and we're going to try to get that handbook so it's a pocketbook, and so you can put it in your top pocket.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to touch on really quick, you brought up the idea of kind of keeping the masses placated, or the slaves dumb, as you put it. And we had talked a little bit about legal terms versus lawful terms,
mm-hmm.
and some of the differences between them. I know that there are quite a few words out there that we just absolutely don't have a grasp
right.
of. But what are some of your favorite ones? What are the favorite words that you know of, legal terms that we don't understand, that would just blow people's minds if they really
right.
understood what it was they were saying?
Yeah, we keep it very, very simple. We don't get complex. Understand one thing, and this is a mindset. These so-called legal terms are unlawful. It's fraud. Okay, so if you walked into a court, and let's say you were fighting a traffic ticket or some kind of an infraction or whatever, and they know you got a license and so on and so forth, they will never bring it up in court. It was Lincoln who said, if you don't want to argue a point, don't bring it up. They're not going to bring it up, so you don't have to bring it up. I stick on just a couple of subjects when I go into a courtroom. Ultimately, I focus in on jurisdiction first and foremost, and the fact that they don't have consent to do anything with me. They don't have the authority, and they're stepping outside of the authority. They took a constitutional oath to protect and obey and uphold the Constitution for the United States of America. Then they took another oath, or they've really given their oath, ultimately, to what's called the statutes, which is corporate charter. They have a corporate charter. And when they put that corporate charter above that Constitution, they are violating their oath. Now, the word Nisi Prius ultimately means first unless denied. So the point is if you walk into a Nisi Prius court and you don't deny it consent, then you become part of it and you've accepted the contract and you go forward. And that's the fraud. It's a hidden contract. That's why you should never plead in court, not even plead no contest. If you plead no contest, you're participating. When I go into court, I let them know that I'm here on a special appearance, and a paper precedes me, and that paper turns it into a common law court. I turn all of them into defendants. I become the plaintiff. I open my own court on top of their court, and their court is susceptible to collateral damage from my court.
Okay, when we come back after this three-minute break, I want to hear how many times you have done that, John Darish. We'll be back after
mm-hmm.
this three-minute break. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. John Darish, Joyce Riley, and J.D. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Power Hour, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. Caring about your world. It's all about the truth. We're talking with John Darish today. It's 54 minutes after the hour. And he was just discussing how when he goes into a courtroom, what he does. And the question is, how many times have you done this? And how many times have you seen people prevail, if you will, in a positive fashion?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I could say we've got scores of cases over the past 4 years. Either by arguing and written cases for other people to make their own argument. A couple of them were mine, but most of them are other people's. Anybody who sticks with it and takes it through the whole gambit pretty much usually wins. Those who kind of bail out at the end because a deal was made, and that could be wise to keep out of jail or whatever, they ultimately can win that way too because the court gets frustrated and makes a deal. So whichever way that happens, ultimately it's a win anyway. But we've argued cases in the federal courts. We've argued cases in the Supreme Courts. We've been up on the appellate court arguing cases. We went up against we sued the governor, and both houses here in New York. That's a case that hasn't really even been settled yet. We just haven't been focusing in on it because we'll win that through what we're doing. And we've argued cases and won cases in family court. Well, one case in family court anyway. Family court's quite easy. We went in there once, and we were out of there in 2 weeks. And you don't get out of the claws of those people. They're evil. We've been in plenty of town courts and city courts. We're arguing a case down in Brooklyn. We got three judges all twisted up. They don't know which way to turn. The last judge, because we keep adding them to the defendants list. We sue them. And then they become part of that. But the last judge that went on the bench, all she kept saying was, there's no motion before the court. I can't make any decisions. You know, she was really lost. because she knew if she made a decision, we were going to add it to the list. So she put the case off, and we're going to see what happens next time we go in. But again, this is not really about fighting these fiction courts, you know, which is what they are. They're a fiction. They're not real because they're corporate. And but this is what we're really doing, is trying to get everything back to common law. When we get to common law, the fiction disappears. It's a bubble that bursts and it goes away. And you don't have to worry about using the word citizen. When we walk into a court, we're very careful not to use certain words. We won't call ourselves a citizen in court. Our founding fathers used that word, and, you know, we can use that word out of the court, but you don't dare use it in the court because they play the word game there. We walk into court, we make it very simple. I'm one of the people of New York, and in this court of record, I sue. And that's really the principle we start off with. But, again, we're all about creating common law grand juries, getting rid of that fiction. There are 3,142 counties in the United States, and it is our goal to get accomplished this year. If not all, just we'll be short a few. But we really plan on doing that. We have a lot of great leaders around the country now, and we're in all 50 states, including Hawaii and Alaska, and it's moving like a brush fire.
Well, that is fantastic. Again, this is just outstanding information, John. I really appreciate you.
Can I ask a question? I want to know, have you been involved with Sheriff Richard Mack yet? Have you had any kind of support?
I know Sheriff Mack. I spoke with him on a few occasions. We invited him up into New York early on, and he came out to New York. I've met him along the trail quite a few times. We spoke at dinner together. We get along pretty good. He's doing his thing. He was poisoned. He's got some poison in his camp that has veered him away from us, and that's probably God's will for right now, because he needs to be doing his thing. But once we get to where we're going, we're going to catapult the sheriffs, which would include, of course, the Sheriff Mack's movement. We're going to catapult that. We wrote a letter which we decided to start to educate the sheriffs of New York and ultimately of the whole nation. So we've sent this out to all the people. And,
okay, we've got a 1-minute, 10-second break. We're going to be back.
Yep.
Stay right there. We'll be back after this 1-minute, 10-second break. This is Joyce Riley and J.D. and John Darish. NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Power Hour. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world. Just to let you all know, we're having trouble getting a hold of Jonathan Gray in the next hour. And if we can't, I'm going to see if I can impose upon our guest today to perhaps stay with us, and we'll take some phone calls if that will work out with him. John, would that be possible for you to stay a little bit longer?
I'll stay as long as you want. Fine, sure.
Okay.
Excellent. This is an opportunity for us to get this message out. This, I believe, and I'm not saying this because we put this together, and I'm not alone here. You know, I'm working with, I just have the biggest mouth, that's all. But, you know, this is the most important message that we have discovered, that the people can really have authority and a power and take back their entire nation. If you take back, let me tell you, you know, Rothschild said, give me control of a nation's money, and I don't care who makes the laws. Well, he really didn't mean that. That was sort of a movement of the hand. Ultimately, he can't just control the nation by controlling the money. He also has to control the courts. He just didn't tell you that. If you don't control the courts, whoever controls the courts controls the nation. And right now, the Bar Association controls the court, and all these lawyers are minions for the New World Order. It's a communist form organization. So you have to take control of the courts.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And the common law, define for us, a common law grand jury. Just define that term for us.
Right. Yeah, we purposely did not use the word citizens grand jury. We purposely did not use the word people's grand jury, although it is the people's grand jury. We used the word common law grand jury because we found that when we went into the courts, that word was like, you know, we put everybody into cardiac arrest, especially in the beginning, we discovered that. We had one case that they pulled the lawyers off of. We were fighting against the Board of Election, New York State Board of Election, and the Attorney General took over, and he came down to argue the case. Of course, not the elected one, but one of his people. And the very first thing when he walked into this court with a very smug attitude said, you think you're going to get common law in this court? You'll never get common law here. So that stuck in my mind, And as we worked through it, we discovered how to put these people on the carpet, so to speak, or on their flesh on the line, you know. So, but common law, is ultimately natural law. It's law that comes from God. It's the law of nature. Again, it's built by principles and maxims and common sense. Those are the three things that put together what common law is. Now, when you have a good statutes, we've given the authority to the legislators to write statutes, but the statutes are for certain purposes. It's to control bureaucrats and to control elected individuals, appointed individuals, to control the different offices and that they might make, that we've given them the authority to make. And of course, they went far beyond that. But those statutes are the policies and procedures, and they are law to those people. And they are consequences. If a judge is to break certain rules or a clerk is to break certain rules, they face anywhere from 1 to 20 years in jail, according to their statutes or their, the codes that they have to go by. That's a requirement. But people are the kings, and the legislators don't have the authority or the power to write behavioral statutes for us. We only have to obey common law, which common law is natural law. We call it common because it is common to all men, whether they acknowledge it or not. It's irrelevant. They're all under common law, and everyone will be judged under that. Jefferson spoke of that he feared because God's judgment will not rest forever. And so he feared the consequence of this world, because if you don't pay for it in this world, you surely will pay in the world to come, however all that works out. Common law and natural law are synonymous, and that's what we have. And it started way back in the garden, and of course it came down off the mountain some 1600 B.C., and then it was reestablished in a way that really has gone out into the nations when it came into England in the early 300-400 A.D., and then eventually came into the United States, and it even grown from there, and we, of course, took it beyond. You see, in England they had one king. The idea was they had a king who represented the sovereigns of all. So if you needed justice and you were free men,
well, we've got a king today. I think everybody would agree we've got a king today also. We'll be back after this 3-minute break, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. This is Joyce Riley. This is JD. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. Caring about your world. We are talking with John Darish today, and the subject of one law versus another law, or one type of law versus another type of law. It's kind of a difficult situation for a lot of people to entertain. We've been taught one thing all of our lives, then all of a sudden someone comes along and says, no, there's another whole issue here. There's another whole side to this. And I wish we had more time. I'm not sure if we're going to have we're kind of having a problem getting a hold of our guest in New Zealand right now, waiting for John to find out if he could call in. Jonathan Gray, we're going to be talking about suppressed archaeology if we're able to get a hold of him. Let me just go ahead and continue with this discussion right now with John Darish until John lets me know in my headset if we're going to be able to get a hold of Jonathan Gray or not. John, if you had anything mm-hmm. to say to the people on how to get started, where to start, what to do, because this is like an immense, huge thing. You've been studying it for years.
Right.
And most people, and like JD said, if you go to the website, you can save years by doing it. But where does one start if they all of a sudden come to the understanding that we've sort of been hoodwinked by our legal system?
Right. Right. We have two things out there. We have fiction and reality, and most people have been living in fiction, and you just have to leave it and wake up to reality. But it starts off on our welcome page, ultimately. Read our welcome page, and you'll understand who and what we're all about. And you watch the video, which is the Power of the Common Law Grand Jury, on the front page. It's a 40-minute video. And when you read that, you'll know exactly whether you want to, you know, work with us or not and become part of what we're doing. But we do lay down bread trails right there in the front page. It tells you what to do if you join up. And the first order of business, of course, is registering. Once you register on the site, you'll be taken directly to the Juris tab. Now, the Juris tab is the key, and just click on Juris itself on the top right side once that tab appears. You have to log in to see that tab. And that page gives you all the instructions and directions on how to go through and have an education on our website. Now, of course, you can mold that the way you want. We have all the great works on our websites, so you can go through all that. That'll take many, many years to go through. And we would suggest, you can read that, but that's not your focus. Right now, you have to get the foundation. So you follow that, and you can, you know, move your education, you plan it a little more as you get around the website. You may want to put a little more time to this, a little more time to that. But it's a very rounded education. We even have Euclid up there, so you have some real mathematics. We have Bible studies under there that has nothing to do with any particular church or any particular doctrine. It's just, you know, word upon word kind of a study. But people need to get involved
and
study.
Let me stop you for just a second, because we do have our next guest that's going to be on the program. But let me give you one email that I got from Jim. And I just wanted to tell you sort of the fervor of where people are in the audience. He says, this sovereignty business is making my hair hurt. I don't need or want to hear about going to court over a traffic ticket, for crying out loud. What would happen if the person who failed to pay $50,000 to the IRS or $35,000 to the county property tax collector? He says he would love to get some red meat, real-world examples of confronting and beating the beast on serious matters. And he says, thank you for that. I'd like to have you back on again and have you
Anytime.
Talk about some of these serious issues, if you don't mind, because I'm sure some of your people have already faced that, have they not?
Absolutely. And again, we don't really get teaching anything outward in the public on how to deal with these things. But we talk to people personally, and we don't charge anybody anything. But we have to be careful not to spend our time on that. Ultimately, what people have to realize, get a common law grand jury going in your county, and when you finally get it into the system, because we have to get into the courts under the auspices of justice and work out of the court, then they know who we are, and they'll give us the recognition. And then we'll have true power. And so that's our first order of business. And so we must get there first. And once you get into that and you bring everything back to common law, the IRS and all those problems go away. They're all fiction. They just disappear. But I would like to say that
I think that, but I think there's more to it than that. And in all honesty, I don't want to, minimize that, but I think there's more to it. But we don't have time to do it on this program.
Yeah, we teach everything on our site, though, to get through those things.
Okay. NationalLibertyAlliance.org, NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really, really appreciate this. I want to have you back on real soon.
Thank you.
I'd like
John.
To end with a quote, if I could, just one short quote,
okay.
And that is, justice and judgment are the inhabitants of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face, Psalms 89:14. Thanks for having us. We really appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Thank
God
you so much.
God speed, everybody.
I appreciate everybody. John Darish there. NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Brilliant man, isn't he?
Thank you again, John. That was absolutely mind-blowing.
Uh-huh. It puts it all together, and we need more, though. We need more than this, so we'll definitely follow that. All right, we're going to change subjects now, though we stay with our own framework.